about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Wonder if you would excuse me for just 1 minute. I think we better get this show on the road.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
A friend of mine told me, try America Online. I said, why? I've got a computer. He said, try it. You'll see. It's simple. Every time you sign on,
welcome.
It tells you if you've got mail.
You've got mail.
Want to send some email? Type the message, click here, and it's done. I like this. With one click, I can browse all kinds of great features on America Online. And their web browser makes it easy to explore the World Wide Web. Call the toll-free number and you'll receive your free startup kit and 10 free hours to look around. It's worth a try. You'll see.
To try America Online free, call 1-800-313-1919. You'll receive your free America Online startup kit and 10 free hours your first month. Call now.
And now,
we're not behind the times, we're groovy.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 4th of October. Oh, am I supposed to hit it?
Well, you have been every other day, so I...
My bad.
Assumed it was on you.
Take two. Good morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, the 4th of Rocktober. That one's on me.
We got a lot better while you were out, Allie.
I am really sad that I missed 2 days of Rocktober.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, as long as you're back in time for Blovember. That's all I care about.
I mean, that's why I was hired.
I was trying to figure out, because I never believe when people say they're sick. I think that's just the way they get to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to come to work. I was trying to figure out what it could have been, and I think I've got it, Allie. You tell me if I'm wrong here. You didn't want to leave the house as long as Austin was the champion on Jeopardy.
Oh, then I wouldn't be leaving the house, period.
Just in case he pops up on your TV at random times of the day or night, you want to be there for Austin.
God, I love him so much.
He's your favorite, right?
Do you know anything about this guy, Kevin? Austin, that's on Jeopardy?
Here's what I know.
Uh-huh.
I almost stopped following you last night.
I finally felt good enough to go online, and all I wanted to do was talk to people about Austin.
Like, holy crap! How interested can I be in Austin?
Oh, she's in love,
so
Kevin.
Good.
So good. Allie's in love.
That's all I know. There was update after update after update.
There were two. Come on.
Austin's got his right arm up. It looks like he's in a position to really pounce.
That is not
what
true.
The?
I deleted those. He's a bartender from New York,
mm-hmm.
and he's the smartest human on the face of the earth. But he also cusses, and they have to bleep him.
Oh, sweet.
And he has these hand movements, and he's like if Will Ferrell and another guy that looks like Austin had a baby.
he looks like Zach Galifianakis. Is who he looks
a
like.
Little Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell meshed into one. Mm-hmm. He's everything.
I think he
might be my new favorite.
He makes Alex uncomfortable too, by the way.
He does.
Why?
Which of course I love.
Yeah, I love that.
Because he's so off the cuff and you don't know what he's going to do. Like last night, he actually bid for Final Jeopardy. He had $32,000. Or $35,000. So his Final Jeopardy bid was $32,000.
You know how I know that?
Because I tweeted it.
Tweet.
But Alex said, so did you wager a lot? And he went, And then they opened it up and it's like $32,000. And it equaled $69,000. And everyone's like, nice. I just love him.
Now, you think... Without question, that he picked that number on purpose to get to
100%.
Because he's got that sense of humor.
That's who he is.
He waged,
that's my Austin.
He waged everything but 1,000, and I thought, well, that's reasonable, you know? That way he walks out with something.
By the way, I said 35 and 32.
You did. I wasn't going to call you on that.
Holy crap. I wasn't going to call you on that, but yeah. You should be.
Should call him.
So,
I just love him.
So
and
he won? And
yeah,
up.
He's up to over $250,000.
I feel like most of the time the people that go on Jeopardy are super smart and mm-hmm. therefore don't have a bunch of a sense of humor. Oh, it sounds like he's got both.
He's got both. I really like him, Kevin.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, congrats and all.
Thank you.
He's back on tonight?
He is.
Yes. Okay.
He is.
When do you think he will stop?
I don't think he will. Okay. No.
Ever?
Ever.
Do you think he's Ken Jennings good?
I think he's better than Ken Jennings.
No.
Yeah. It's a big debate with me and my Jeopardy blog groups.
I think Ken's the best. Ken's the best player I've ever seen. I know he's not the all-time winner, but he's the best player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So,
well, let me know when
You can go on Twitter.
When I can go on Twitter and follow you again.
Speaking of Allie's love of a TV game show contestant, I have a quick story before we get on with today's all-new Kevin DeBean show. Do we have time?
Sure.
It's been a couple of years since we had a person marry herself, but it's back in the news. Remember, like 2-3 years ago, there was a woman in Britain who married herself, and we did a whole thing on it. Mm-hmm. Well, here's another one. This time in Italy, a fairy tale without the prince. Italian woman marries herself. Her name is Laura Messi. She dressed in a white gown, was joined by 70 family and friends for a self-marriage ceremony. Now, I have to ask, even if you love the person that's marrying herself,
right?
Do you go to that? Or do you say, darling, I can't support you in this. You're delusional. Stop it.
There's no way that woman has 70...
70 family and friends show up.
There's
at the
no
ceremony.
Way. She's inviting people that she just met.
Well, so I'm just telling you what it says
it's
here
got
in the article.
7-Eleven.
It seems like you're you're enabling her, aren't you, if you go to this? She paid for
it. I mean, she's going to do it with or without you, so it's not like she needs your approval.
Yeah, but...
she's a good catch, Bean.
Right, but if somebody says, hey, I want to play some Russian roulette, come watch.
She can do better.
You don't do it because you don't want to encourage that person to do the thing, right? You want to point out, hey, that's a terrible idea.
It's not Russian roulette, but go on.
The example is you're encouraging her. It's tacit approval by attending. She paid for the $10,000 wedding herself, and she had a cake made with a figurine of just her on top of it. All right?
Okay.
I mean, I got to tell you, if I know somebody that's doing this, I'm the first one there.
You're going for the story.
Yeah, and I'm
absolutely
the first one there, last one out.
For sure.
She went on a honeymoon to Egypt by herself.
Oh, that must have been really exciting.
The fitness trainer began exploring the possibility of marrying herself following the end of a 12-year relationship, the BBC reports. Following the breakup, she promised to wed herself if she didn't find the perfect partner by her 40th birthday. Now, look, I've seen enough romantic movies to know that you're supposed to marry your best friend if you don't have somebody by your 40th, right?
Yeah.
Not yourself.
That is true.
I like that your go-to is a movie.
Well, because that's
I've seen enough movies to know what to do.
That's the only place where I've ever seen, if I don't get married by 40, I'm going to fill in the blank. It's always you marry your best friend, not yourself. She hasn't ruled out eventually marrying another
person. Maybe her best friend is herself.
Right? Ever thought of that?
But says her happiness does not depend on finding a man. I told my friends and family that if I had not found my soulmate by my 40th birthday, I would marry myself. If one day I find a man with whom I can plan a future, I'll be happy. But my happiness does not depend on him. And here's the final takeaway. I firmly believe that each of us must first of all love ourselves. You can have a fairy tale even without the prince.
I support everything she's doing because the bottom line is this. She got all those gifts.
I mean,
every
I didn't think of it that
single
way.
One.
Didn't think of it
right?
that
Do you
way.
Know how many? This was, again, I go back to Sex and the City. But this was a big topic on Sex and the City where Samantha was so sick of getting wedding gifts, baby gifts, all of that. So she decided, stop looking at me like I'm pathetic and everything goes back to Sex and the City. I get it. But she decided.
Does anyone on the show have any actual experience outside of television and or TV?
Well, I don't think any of us know anyone in real life who's married herself.
Okay.
She wound up getting a ton of shoes. Jimmy Choo's eaten. Right, okay. Chip? You saw that one.
Chip is not on board with this, Chip. I guarantee you.
Remember Monday and yesterday, Bean?
Yeah, they're good times, weren't they? The pre-Austin and Allie days?
Oh, dear Lord. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right, we'll tell you. Your show sucks.
It's Wednesday, so we got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Mm-hmm. We have People Are Dumb today.
Oh.
We have You Saved a Body Part.
What?
You saved a body part.
Like an arm?
Yes.
Potentially, yeah.
Like an arm.
Or a toe.
Or an
That's also a body part, yes.
An ear or a liver or anything they take out of your body, you saved it.
Spleen.
A spleen, yeah.
You could keep naming stuff that are parts of the body, and the answer is always yes.
Vagina.
You had, yes. You don't know how close you are you to the story that kicked this thing off. You have surgery and you ask for a takeout bag on your way out.
Who does that?
Yes. Bean.
Oh, that's right.
Would be one.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that today. Also, Foo Fighters. We have tickets for Cal Jam 17, which is Saturday, and Breakfast with Foo Fighters, which is Tuesday morning.
What?
So that's very exciting. What?
Breakfast with the Foo Fighters?
Yeah. Were you not here for that big announcement? Here's what happened. Bean said, we should try and find that. Bean said, do you want to do the announcement on the air? And I said, yeah, that'd be great. We're having breakfast with Foo. And as soon as I started saying Foo Fighters, Bean jumped in and went, wait!
No.
So we were literally yelling at each other for, I don't know, a minute.
Oh,
man. I was like, why would you tell me to say it then if you're going to stop and go make me say something else?
Well, who would know with Foo?
Right?
Right.
So we were safe?
Yeah.
I don't know why it happened that way, but it did. It wasn't great. So we got those tickets for you today, and we're going to talk to Ryan Getzloff of the Anaheim Ducks today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, you know we're giving away those Foo Fighters tickets for Breakfast With and Cal Jam 17. Did we also mention we have Coldplay tickets?
We did not. No.
How about Coldplay at the Rose Bowl Friday?
We and lunch with well. Coldplay. Breakfast with Foo Fighters, lunch with Coldplay.
I don't think that's not a whole day of food.
Dinner with Ed Sheeran.
I mean, that'd be a pretty fun day, I guess.
It'd be a great day.
We don't have that to
Except
offer,
for
I'm
the
sorry.
Dinner.
Hey, it's a 5:54. Ralph is here. It means it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You'd have to eat it under a footbridge.
who dares try to cross my bridge? Give me the answers to the riddles 3.
little troll man. That's the point.
How you feeling, Allie? Feeling better?
Yeah.
What was wrong with you?
Stuff.
You're all honked up. You're all honked up, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know who else is all honked up? That Steven Seagal fella. You know, the Russian action star who has answers about things.
Sure.
We talked to him last week about him saying he was disgusted by people who would take a knee during the national anthem.
He said from his home in Russia?
That's right. Well, it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong. George Foreman apparently didn't care for his tone and has now challenged Steven Seagal to a 10-round fight in Las Vegas.
Here we go! It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down! Race war. Come on. Race war.
The former champ challenged Steven Seagal on Twitter, saying, one-on-one, I use boxing, you can use whatever. Hand-to-hand combat, no weapons allowed. Come on!
Isn't George Foreman like 70?
He's 68.
All right.
Steven Seagal's 65. How much of a difference is that? 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
So?
Yeah, I don't know.
Math is hard.
So, Bean, your point being?
I don't know. I just feel like George Foreman, it doesn't seem like, at least publicly, we haven't seen him do anything athletic for 20 years. Steven Seagal still seems to be pretty involved in martial arts. I feel like it advantaged Seagal.
Really? What makes you think he's involved in martial arts?
I don't know. It just seems like he is. I mean, we had the fighter in not long ago, Kevin, who was
Anderson
talking about all that Steven Seagal had done to help him, and it seems like he still seems to be involved in it, at least.
He might tell other people what to do.
That's my thing, is I feel like he's just blathering about being so great at what he does.
Yes. He hasn't had any real interaction or real altercation in decades.
So who would you pick in this fight, then?
Foreman!
Really? I feel like Seagal would win.
Oh, I'd love to see it, though.
Right?
I mean, I guess at this point, I guess we got to hope they do it.
Seagal has yet to comment on the proposal. But the offer certainly has captured the imagination of the internet, and there's a lot of memes and stuff out there, and I'm just hoping it happens.
I'd certainly be rooting for George Foreman, no question about that. USA, USA, right?
If you see, go do yourself a favor, go on YouTube and try to find some of the exhibition footage, the recent Steven Seagal exhibition footage of him showing his Aikido and things. It's like he hires these guys to fall down around him. It's awesome. It's just the best. The worst fight in any movie you've ever seen. It's just the best thing. Have we lowered the bar so much that any celebrity can run for president now? Well, sure, of course we have. Mark Cuban from Shark Tank fame says now he's thinking about running for president in 2020. And here's the thing. The bar is lowered so much, you're like, okay, Better than what we got. I'll take him. I'll take Mark Cuban.
I wonder how many. I wonder what the exact number is. How many people, when Donald Trump got elected, said, "You know what? This might be a career path for me."
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's trying to get Oprah to run now.
I don't want that.
Mark Cuban. I mean, I don't know enough about him to know if you know what his fatal flaw is, but he's certainly a successful businessman who hasn't declared lots of bankruptcies.
Yeah. And then he likes Batman. Yeah. He has a lot of Batman t-shirts.
He does. True.
That's all you need
That's
to know.
All I'm good. I'm on board.
It's like he might have a little bit of a temper. Seems like there are a lot of fines in the NBA for him screaming at people.
And Allie, of course, was talking about her love for Sex and the City. Yesterday we talked about the fact that the third Sex and the City movie isn't happening.
Yeah.
And some people are pointing fingers at Kim Cattrall saying it's all her fault.
Well, congratulations to her.
How dare you, right? Sir? Right, Allie? Apparently, we're finding out that the deal got skewed when Kim Cattrall was demanding with Warner Brothers, if there was to be another film, that they finance other films for her. She wanted to produce some additional films on her own if she were to appear in a third Sex and the City film.
So the story you did yesterday about her not wanting to do a third, is that also true?
She has not been a fan of the idea, okay. But apparently her last negotiation was, I will do it. I will acquiesce if you finance additional films for me that I do want to do. Sarah Jessica Parker chimed in that she was disappointed because production was canceled just weeks before it was supposed to begin because of all this.
Oh, wow.
Now, the UK, Daily Mail is reporting that Kim, as we mentioned yesterday, never wanted to be a part of it and has been saying no for the last year. She lashed out at Sarah Jessica Parker this week saying, I don't know what her issue is. I never have.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
That's on, Frosty.
Yeah, or that guy said.
The last movie, The Sex and the City in the Desert or whatever it was, that was terrible, right,
Sex
Allie?
And City and
no,
Camels.
That was not terrible. It was the worst thing that ever was up on a screen.
That's why they need to do a third one so they can redeem themselves.
Agreed.
Exactly, Allie.
Agreed.
Sex and the City in space.
Right?
With Jason.
On the space station. Today's celebrity birthdays. Susan Sarandon, 71 years old today. Christoph Waltz celebrates 61 years old. Russell Simmons is 60. Liev Schreiber's 50 years old. Alicia Silverstone's 41. Rachel Lee Cook is 38 years old. Dakota Johnson is 28. And Melissa Benoist, Supergirl!
She's so great.
Supergirl! She's 29. She's the best. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thunder?
I'm sorry?
No.
Thunder?
Oh, theme.
Again?
Thunder. Hey, I'm a little pre-sad that this time next week, Breakfast with Foo Fighters will be over.
Stop it with your pre-sad. We're still in the looking forward to it phase.
I know, but it's not going to last forever.
Right, of course not. But let us have these few days between now and Tuesday so that we can enjoy the anticipation of Breakfast with Foo Fighters.
I know, but once Tuesday's
show... No, wet blanket. No, stop.
If you want to be with us Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show for Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Foo Fighters in the HD Radio Sound Space, we invite you... 2 hours, a little less than 2 hours from right now, to give us a call. We're looking for fan songs this morning. It's always fun when we do this. And really, what we want you to do is call in and sing. Now, are we doing singing and rapping today, or one or the other?
I prefer rapping, but you can take your choice. Dealer's choice. You can make a parody. You can make it a parody of one of the Foo Fighters songs, or anybody else if you want. Whatever you want to do. Original. Mm-hmm. Original rapping or beat poetry is usually what I go for.
Yeah, you love beat poetry.
I do.
Yeah.
So just sing or rap or beat poet your heart out and tell us why you need to be with us Tuesday morning for Breakfast with Foo Fighters. We're looking for big Foo Fighters fans who want to join us. And by the way, we're not only, as I understand correctly, we're not only giving away tickets to the Foo Fighters breakfast, but you also get to see them this Saturday along with all the other great bands at Cal Jam 17. So it's an amazing, amazing deal. So around 8:30 this morning, we're going to be looking for your songs, but we wanted to give you a heads up so you can start thinking about it.
Hey, Bean, before before the phone call, has anyone checked that this person is actually in the position that this person claims that she is in?
Mm-hmm. She's the California's middle school principal of the year, Kevin.
Right. Has that been double checked? Did anyone do any research? Or are we taking her word for it?
She had stationery from McAuliffe Middle School in Los Alamitos. You can't fake stationery, Kevin.
I mean, that's good enough for me.
Have we checked restraining orders? Anything? No one did, right?
That's my point.
I don't know why you guys are going automatically to crazy. I saw Annie's letter, and I brought it up to you guys because I thought she sounded awesome. She has been
some would say too good to be true, B.
She has been an educator for 35 years in the great state of California.
Or has she?
And she uses the Foo Fighters in so many ways in her class.
Does she?
And I just thought it was an interesting story. And I invited Annie to join us on the show. Annie, how are you? Are you okay?
I am very well. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much.
Hold on, Annie. I'm sorry. We have some internal business to take care of. Bean.
Did you just ask Annie if she was okay?
Yes, he did.
So much fire.
Yes, put in the file. All right. Annie, are you really who you say you are?
I am really who I say I am, and I'll tell you what, I am one of the biggest Foo Fighters fans of all time.
All right, tell us what it is you do for a living.
I am the principal of McAuliffe Middle School in Los Alamitos, California, and I've been at my school for 35 years.
Wow.
I've never left.
That's very impressive.
I started as a teacher, and then I moved up the food chain, and for the last 5 years, I've been the principal here.
Did you kill anyone along the way moving up the food chain?
Well, you would kind of have to ask the people that I work with.
Okay. All right. So more research is needed. Let me make a note of that.
We can't because they're dead, Annie.
So, Annie, Kevin made reference to you used the Foo Fighters in your school. How so? Could you give us some examples of that?
Well, I sure can. You know, part of the job of being a principal is to inspire all of your teachers. And I happen to work with a number of remarkable professionals and wonderful kids and wonderful parents. And so I've never been the normal kind of principal in that I don't wear the buttoned-up suits, and I'm a little bit of an outlier. And one of the things that inspires me is quality, righteous rock and roll.
Oh, my God, I love Annie.
This became our favorite person.
I thought to myself, you know what? I am just going to abandon everything and just show people what I love and what inspires me every day. And Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, they approach their craft with a passion and precision and grace that I want to model in my school every day when I come here.
And tell us how you do that.
Well, I have lyrics and pictures of the band in every classroom. Instead of showing a TED Talk video at the beginning of the year to inspire people to do their best work, I show Foo Fighter videos.
I mean, come on. And,
yeah, come on.
Right?
How can you not like that, right?
And, if it's true.
And it's way true. Come on over, Kevin Bean, and I'll show you some.
Kevin, whoa.
So our parents and our kids and our community have really embraced my rock and roll vision, and it has been remarkable and led to some remarkable results. We sang Times Like These at our eighth grade promotion. That's really kind of our song that helps us remember that every year we get another chance to come back and do the work that we do to live again, love again, and give again. And it has really been taken in by everybody that I work with.
Are there any, should I put this, restraining orders?
No, and I've been writing to the Foo Fighters for several years because I've wanted to just let them know that there is a school in Southern California that has had some tremendous results with kids and with the school community based upon their model. I mean, it's kind of like, come on.
Yeah.
You have written letters to Foo Fighters. And by the way, one of the things you told them in the most recent letter you wrote to them was that over 99% of your students pass every class, which is whatever it is you're doing down there, Annie, is working.
Well, you know, we run to the kids that need us the most. And middle school is not an easy time for many children. And so all of the people that I work with love middle school kids. And so we run to them. We run to them and do whatever we can to make them successful.
Well,
and it works.
We're lucky to have you in our state. And I don't know if this was your intention when you sent this along to us. I know that you asked if there's any way we could get the letter to Foo Fighters. But we thought, why not invite you, Annie, to join us for Breakfast with Foo Fighters?
And
you can give them the letter yourself.
Oh, my God.
I mean, see, Bean? All right, Bean, you see my problem?
Are you kidding? Annie's going to make it awesome.
Do we bring her in on a dolly?
You might have to.
Strap it up.
So we would like you to be there with us and hand the letter to Dave yourself and help us with the broadcast on Tuesday. How about that?
Oh, you have made a dream come true. Thank you so much.
Of course. We're very excited for you, and we're very excited to host you here at K-Rock, and we'll look forward to meeting you in person next week. All right, Annie?
Oh, all right. All right. Thanks. You just made my day. Thanks so much.
After the background check, we'll get back to you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls, children of all ages.
What you talking about?
Come inside the tent.
No.
It's time for the show.
Come on. Do not want to.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. No? Nothing? I want to thank all the listeners who gave us the heads up to the new moment with that we did miss. We let it slip right by. Thank God. Our listeners are listening carefully.
You don't know that it's you, Kevin.
It's always me.
You don't know
me.
It's you.
It's always me.
What if it's not you? Then what?
I'll be very happy.
Oh, well, it's you.
That's what
this morning, there was a spirited conversation amongst the magnificent trio here about someone who married themselves, a woman who married herself. And Bean was talking about how he had seen so many romantic comedies. He knew what was up. And Allie said she knew what was up because she watched Sex and the City. She had a story from there. And Kevin got very frustrated with people and where they got their information.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
But she decided...
Does anyone on the show have any actual experience outside of television and or TV? Yes.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Just wanted to make sure it was covered. Television and or TV.
And or TV.
Either of those sources. Is that where you've been? But are those the only two sources you get your things from? Television and or TV?
What is wrong with Allie and me that we don't even hear it anymore?
Right?
I know.
That's concerning.
Give me that one more time.
I don't think we heard it.
I just want to hear it.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
But she decided...
Does anyone on the show have any actual experience outside of television and or TV?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Well covered. Said, Kevin.
Yes. It's covered.
Time for the showbiz beaters, Ralph.
Yeah. This is interesting news. Kate Winslet and James Cameron are getting back together. They're getting the band back together again. She, of course, was the star of his Titanic film, along with Leonardo DiCaprio. Now, she will be reuniting with her director... For the Avatar sequels. Now, there's no word in how many of the four sequels he's currently shooting she'll be in.
I don't get it.
But they will be working together again, it has been announced. He's currently filming Avatar 2 and 3, and then after that, he's going to shoot Avatar 4 and 5. So we'll get all of them knocked out.
By the time the first sequel comes out, though, will anyone be alive who saw the original? doesn't it just seem like...
Been a little bit.
It has, yeah.
And Avatar 2, by the way, in case you're curious, I think it's been referring to the fact that it is going to be released Christmas 2020 is when you'll see Avatar 2.
And what if that one's a failure and they've worked this entire time on 3, 4, and 5?
They've spent $9 billion and they've got four more movies in the can? Yeah, I know. Could be problematic. Tina Fey got her... Broadway musical adaptation of her movie Mean Girls opening up next spring at the August Wilson Theater on Broadway. And tickets went on sale yesterday. When the box office opened, there was a food truck there just to feed people as they stood in line for tickets. And inside, serving cheese fries, was Tina Fey inside the cheese.
Is that
the
right?
Food truck, yes. Just handing out cheese fries to people standing in line for her new musical. How fun is she?
She's the best. You guys don't watch that NBC show Great News, I think, but Tina Fey seems to be a regular on it this season now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
I think she produced it.
Interesting. And Dancing with the Stars, there's a big hubbub over there.
Uh-oh.
You may have noticed that Max Chermskovsky was not on.
Right.
That's all I've been thinking about.
Right. Yeah. And rumors are swirling. It's because he will no longer work with his celebrity partner, Vanessa Lachey.
Oh, no.
Vanessa, formerly known as Vanessa Minnillo. Apparently, she's just a nightmare.
Wait, he wasn't on the show?
He was not on the show. He did not show up on the show.
Oh,
he was
no.
MIA on Monday's episode.
That's amazing.
And rumors are swirling. There's a lot of fighting behind the scenes between these two. And Vanessa, well, I reported on this earlier, that she's acting like the diva on set. Everyone apparently is not happy with her. It's not going over well. So, who knows? Something could go down, man.
When Psycho Mike was on that show, I went and visited the set and interviewed him and stuff. And, I mean, they work hard and long hours. If you're not getting along,
oof. The rehearsal process is grueling.
Yeah.
I mean, not only is it physically taxing, but every move they do is choreographed to a fare thee well.
Huh?
What? You heard me.
I did, but
it's choreographed to a fare thee well.
That means.
It's well honed, Allie. It's just it's rehearsed over and over and over again. Every single move. That's a difficult process.
So she's a diva.
Every week to go through that. Yeah, he must be. No wonder he didn't show up.
That's rough.
Max Chermskovsky. He needs a better name. Today's celebrity birthday: Susan Sarandon is 71 years old today. Christoph, by the way. Susan Sarandon at 71, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Not only is she still a beautiful woman and an incredibly talented actress, look at the kind of work that she's getting.
She's on Ray Donovan this season.
Yeah, yeah, and also the feud. She just started that feud, the Ryan Murphy feud.
But she's been wasted on Ray Donovan this season.
They're not using her enough.
The whole storyline, the whole plot line is just barely there.
Yeah,
I got a lot of problems with Ray Donovan this year. A lot of problems. Ray and I are going to throw down, me and Ray.
I think, Allie, didn't you stop watching?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Allie, all right.
Allie had to walk away. She was sad. She had to walk away.
I was just so bummed.
I know.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Liev Schreiber celebrates his birthday today.
All right.
Happy birthday, Liev.
Happy birthday, Liev.
We don't watch it anymore.
He's 50 years old today. Christoph, well, I can't not watch, though. See, you're better than me, Allie. You're stronger than me. Because I watch and I sit there with my arms crossed going,
I caught up yesterday.
Oh, you liar.
I wasn't happy about it.
Not strong. You're a liar.
But wasn't this past week's episode
pointless?
With what happened to
Completely
Abby?
Completely pointless?
Incredibly well acted.
Completely pointless?
It was a beautiful
episode. They gave you the whole story in backflash, flashback, and conversations all season long, and you're watching basically what they told you happened all season long.
Yeah.
That is correct, yes.
What was the point of it? No new information was given. You had to sit through plot points you've already been beaten to death with.
It was so beautifully acted, I enjoyed the hour.
Ugh.
I wish
you'd take a bottle of Seek and all.
Okay.
Liev Schreiber's 50 years old today. Russell Simmons is 60. Christoph Waltz is 61. Alicia Silverstone, 41 years old today. Rachel Lee Cook's 38. Dakota Johnson's 28. And Supergirl herself, Melissa Benoist, 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Another quick reminder, we're going to be looking for your Foo Fighters fan songs at around 8:30 this morning. We want you to sing or rap, or as Kevin pointed out today, do some beat poetry to get into Cal Jam 17 this weekend and our Breakfast with Foo Fighters Tuesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So around 8:30. Get your song together, your rap, whatever you're doing. It can be an original. It can be a parody. It can be funny. Whatever you want to do. How much you love the Foos, how much you need to be there.
We found out a little information about Bean yesterday when we did Thanks for That Tweet, Bean.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Here's the specific tweet that we're referring to.
Many passengers just laughed way harder than I expected at the pilot welcoming us to Lost Wages. I need to put that one back in the rotation.
You don't have a rotation, okay?
Right.
There's no rotation. There's no...
There certainly shouldn't be if you don't have one yet.
Of funny things.
That's not fun,
of guaranteed home runs.
Nope.
Oh, if you'd have heard this crowd, though, man. They just went crazy for Lost Wages.
Oh.
So that was yesterday.
That's when listener Edwin wrote in.
Oh, no. Edwin?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
And he said, Bean wants to put Lost Wages in his rotation? One can only guess what gems he has in his rotation now.
Right?
Bean's working on his comedy. Louis C.K. better watch out. I just imagine, hey, how about those TV dinners? Are you working hard or hardly working? Hey, how about those women drivers, huh, folks? Bean is like Bob Hope with dementia, he writes.
Oh, Edwin.
We did a little research, and it turns out Bean is actually doing stand-up now.
No.
He's got a rotation of surefire home runs that he does up on stage at open mic nights around the Great Northwest.
Why haven't you told us this, Bean?
I wasn't aware of it until just now. That's why.
Bean's working on his chunk for maybe like a special. Maybe he'll get like a Netflix special or something. So he's working out some new material, and I don't think he wanted to let us know until perhaps it was polished.
Well, that makes sense. A lot of people want to hide it until it's a done deal and he's signed it.
But I called the folks up at Sir Laughs-A-Lot, which is the local comedy club up there near Seattle where Bean apparently works out his chunks.
Right.
And they pulled a little audio for us.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They sent me some tape of being at the most recent open mic night, and he's got some very timely comedy and I think a lot of guaranteed home runs, as Bean put it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've seen this comedian here before on open mic night. He's back again. Please give a warm welcome to Bean Baxter.
Hey, everybody. I just got back from Las Vegas. Or should I say, Lost Wages? Okay, well, you know, it's three-quarters Christmas, and so it's almost Christmas, and that's my favorite holiday. But, you know, there's a lot of different holidays. What's a cow's favorite holiday? Moo Year's Day!
Oh.
Speaking of holidays, what did the light bulb say to the other light bulb on Valentine's Day? I love you, Watts and Watts. Hey, speaking of holidays, where does the Easter Bunny get his breakfast? IHOP.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You know how the Easter Bunny stays in shape? Lots of exercise. Hey, speaking of holidays, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Okay, this is where someone would say, who's there?
Oh.
Who's there?
Irish.
Irish who?
I wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day.
You.
Hey, this weather's been crazy, huh? With all these hurricanes. Oh. But I think the ocean is friendly, really. You know how you can tell the ocean is friendly? It waves. But I'll tell you, with all these natural disasters, I hope there's not a volcano soon. Hey, what do you call an attractive volcano? Lovable.
You suck!
You know, and if we keep ruining our planet, we might have to go to Mars, you know. What did Mars say to Saturn? Give me a ring sometime. Well, they're telling me that's my time. So, I just want to thank you. You've been a great audience.
Seriously, f*** you.
Okay, I'll see you all next week.
Oh, man.
We were wrong. You keep doing what you're doing.
It's like rotation.
Hey, it's Wednesday. That means the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voice is coming up on the program today. Also, we're going to be taking your calls later on whether you've ever had a surgery and they removed something from your body and you kept it. Took it home in a jar or a baggie.
Here's the thing. The rest of us all were like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, of course.
Hey, look, we'll save this conversation for later, but lots of people save teeth, for instance. That's very similar to that. It's just a different body part than teeth. That's all. But first,
it's time for People Are Dumb.
People are dumb because they are stupid. They are such dummies. They're really dumb. They are not smart because they're so stupid. They are such dummies and they're dumb.
Not clear. What's happening?
These people don't make smart decisions, Kevin? Is that what we're talking about here?
There was a man believed to be from Texas in the United States who was in Germany for Oktoberfest, and a shocked visitor to the German beer festival noticed the man slumped over close to the exit with a baby strapped to his chest.
Oh, no.
And he was unable to stand up, and he was throwing up.
on the baby?
The tourist. No, he was. Don't be ridiculous.
Okay,
he was over to the side.
Okay.
The tourist said the 28-year-old man slowly fell to one side. The tourist took the baby from the man, called the police. The police arrived at Oktoberfest. They found the man was so drunk he was unable to respond to their questions. He also repeatedly vomited, leading police to call an ambulance to take him to the hospital.
People are dumb, but they still vomit on their babies when they're full of beer. They can still have babies, though they are stupid. They shouldn't have babies when they're drunk.
Right?
Good point.
Andrew Murray, 33, is accused of attempting to rob a bank last Friday afternoon using a stick as his weapon. Police in Neptune Beach, Florida say the masked man they identified later as Murray entered a SunTrust bank around 2:45 brandishing a weapon wrapped in a plastic bag. He shouted, "Nobody's going to get hurt if you give me $50,000 from the vault." He received an undisclosed amount of cash and ran off. Police used a taser on him before taking him into custody. He had $124 cash on him, a mask, gloves, and a pair of boots. He's been charged with armed robbery and is currently at the jail in lieu of $52,000 bail.
People are dumb. They rob banks with sticks. They are so stupid. They're really dumb. No one gets hurt when you rob a bank with a stick. Don't be so stupid. Get a gun.
I don't think that's what we're saying at all.
He's not wrong.
Out of Waco, Texas, Margarita Rodriguez was arrested at home this morning by officers of the Waco Police Department after a warrant was issued against her by the Texas state judge. The 41-year-old woman was charged with 960 accusations of petty theft, three charges of public misconduct, and one charge of drug possession. According to the spokesperson for where she worked, Taco Bell, Anita Hernandez, ate more than $25,000 worth of tacos, as well as burritos, quesadillas, nachos, and soft drinks over the 5 years she worked at the fast food chain. She would eat at least 12 tacos on each of her shifts without paying for any of it. Over 5 years, that's approximately 12,000 tacos. They decided to investigate because they noticed some irregularities in their inventory. They were missing a bunch of food. So they went back and they checked all of the video, and there were hours and hours of her cramming tacos into her mouth, including when she was serving people.
Oh. I would have loved to have seen that.
She was jamming food in her mouth while serving customers.
That's the best advertisement for how good it is,
right?
Too.
So she was arrested and held on bail for $25,000 worth of stolen food.
People are dumb. Some are big fatties. They eat some tacos while they're at work. Jamming their face with delicious Taco Bell. They are a sponsor, and it's good.
The president was tweeting about fake news this morning, you guys. Here's what he says. Wow, so many fake news stories today. No matter what I do or say, they will not write or speak the truth. The fake news media is out of control. And he seems to be responding to the coverage of his visit to Puerto Rico yesterday. So I don't want to be accused of generating any kind of fake news. So let's let the tape speak for itself.
Mick Mulvaney is here right there. And Mick is in charge of a thing called budget. Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack. Because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives. If you look at the every death is a horror. But if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina, and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. Now, what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified. 16 people versus in the thousands. You can be very proud of all of your people, all of our people working together. 16 versus literally thousands of people. You can be very proud. Everybody around this table and everybody watching can really be very proud of what's taken place in Puerto Rico.
All right, let's see how proud Puerto Rico is about that storm. Let's get number 45 back on the phone. Let him put it in his own words. Mr. President, welcome, sir. How are you?
They should be so proud of that storm. Unbelievable.
Well,
the best storm. I have the best storms in my administration.
I don't know that you can be proud of a storm. You can be relieved that more people didn't die, certainly.
What do they have? How many do they have?
I mean, it's 34 now, yeah.
34?
Right.
Okay. Not as good as 16, admittedly, okay?
Right.
But they should be really proud.
But what are they...
34.
What are they proud
really
of? It's just a disaster. All their homes are gone?
The storm hit them.
Right.
And they should be really proud.
Right, but they have no electricity, they have no water, they have no food.
Some of them won't have it for 6 months.
But they have paper towels.
You did throw paper towels into a crowd like it was a T-shirt candidate at a ball game.
I gave them paper towels. But
that their homes were washed into the ocean by water.
Yeah, what are they using those for?
Paper towels.
Let me tell you a little something about Puerto Rico, okay?
Okay.
It's an island.
Right.
All right?
Yeah. We heard that.
It's
yeah.
an island surrounded by water.
Right. Right.
Big water.
Right.
Ocean water.
We
right.
understand how islands work, sir.
Okay. So if there's a lot of water,
mm-hmm.
and there is, because this storm, unbelievable. No one ever seen a storm like this.
Right.
So much water. It's a little something I call rain, okay?
Okay.
And the rain comes down, and it makes things wet.
Okay. It seems a little condescending the way you're explaining basic principles to people. You know, they are Americans.
When things get wet, what do you need?
Well,
paper towel.
I'm not sure.
You wipe up the moisture, the quicker picker upper.
Right. Okay? We know how paper towels work.
It's a little thing called Bounty. Okay.
And, Mr. President,
but there's so much water.
It's a lot of. It's very expensive. That's the 3-ply. I'm not giving out cheap paper towels. Okay.
Okay.
We spent a lot of money on paper towels, but it's okay. Because we're saving lives with paper towels.
Were you joking when you said the budget has been a little bit blown by Puerto Rico? But
it is a little out of whack.
That was a joke.
I didn't mind so much spending on Texas and Florida. Okay,
so it wasn't
but
a joke.
It's a little expensive for Puerto Rico.
But they're Americans. It's America.
You know, who could have known? Who could have known that Puerto Rico was even part of America?
Everyone
lives in America.
Nobody knew it. They have a different language down there.
A lot of people speak Spanish, yes.
A lot of people speak Spanish down there.
Right, but they're still Americans.
Just Bean just said that.
And here's the thing.
Okay.
No one could have known they were Americans.
I mean,
had I known, I would not have waited a couple of weeks before I started to help them out.
It did seem like 13 days was a long time to wait to go.
Sure. First of all, I had a golf tournament, okay?
Right. Yes, you did.
I feel that you have to fulfill your commitments when you make them, okay? I said I was going to be at a golf tournament. I had to go.
Well, that's important.
And I dedicated.
You did.
I dedicated the cup, the trophy.
The trophy, mm-hmm. right.
To the people.
Okay.
And
Puerto Rico, what are they supposed to do with that trophy?
The little thing called water, okay?
Right.
And you can take the trophy
uh-huh.
and you can spoon the water out of your canoe or whatever it is that they use there.
So that you feel like that was helpful.
What do they have? A dinghy? The little thing I call a boat, okay?
Okay. Mr. President, what's the fake news that you're complaining about in the coverage of Puerto Rico? What have you been seeing there on the news not true, though?
That the mayor of San Juan, Carmen San Diego,
that's
is
not her
really
name.
Upset
that's
with
not
me
her name.
That she doesn't think I'm doing enough.
She
okay?
was really upset with
she
you.
She thinks I'm doing the best.
That's
the best help anyone's ever given anyone.
That's not at all what she said.
Yeah, the opposite of what she said, actually. She said, we need more help, Mr. President. Help us. We're dying.
That's because the nasty, nasty Democrats told her that she had to be nasty to me. Okay?
I don't know where you got that from. That I don't believe that call was made.
But the governor of Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
Rico Suave.
Again, I don't know his name, but it's not that.
Said to me, I did the best of any FEMA, any recovery help ever, I have done the best of it.
He was very complimentary with the aid that you have given him, yes.
Unbelievable. No one has done better help than I have.
I'm not positive that's true.
It has been, I have the best catastrophes.
Okay,
right?
that's not a category.
Amazing, amazing catastrophes.
It's not a category you
compare
want, Mr.
It
President.
To a real catastrophe like Katrina.
I mean, I feel like all of these people
have the best ones,
dying
so
and losing their homes is a catastrophe.
Yeah, it doesn't help for you to talk about a previous storm. This one was bad enough for them.
The little thing called life, okay?
Okay.
I'm here to celebrate it. a thing called life.
Oh, dear.
But I'm here to talk about something else.
Okay.
The afterlife.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So when the elevator starts to get you down, just go crazy.
All right, we will.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. President. Weather 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
I just think it's weird. Kevin says he can kick George Foreman's ass.
It's that bizarre.
That struck me a little dangerous to say out loud.
I've got talent.
Because Foreman apparently is ready still to mix it up.
He's got talent. That's all I'm saying.
Wasn't George Foreman, Ralph, you're the boxing expert on the show, wasn't he the world champion three different times or something like that?
I believe so.
That sounds right to me for whatever reason.
I think it was three, yeah.
But Kevin still thinks he could take him, huh?
Yeah. Like, this old man, I'm going to ring him up, pop him. Pop him right in his grill. Because George Foreman
is
the grill. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. Explain why we're talking about George Foreman all of a sudden.
Well, he made a Twitter challenge, to 65-year-old action movie star Steven Seagal. Apparently, he was not impressed with Seagal's speaking out about the National Football League players who protest the treatment of African Americans in this country by taking a knee during the national anthem. Seagal said from Russia, where he is a citizen, that he thought the pregame protests from American citizens were outrageous, a joke, and disgusting. So George Foreman says he wants to fight a 10-round fight in Las Vegas against Steven Seagal. 101, I use boxing. You can use whatever, Foreman tweeted.
The best way to push back at a peaceful protest is with a fight. That's what I say.
Punch you right in the mouth. So far, Steven Seagal has not responded to the challenge.
Can we get Steven Seagal expert Doto on the program tomorrow to find out what he thinks about what's going on?
Great idea. Foreman clarified it after the initial challenge that it would be a hand-to-hand combat only, no weapons.
That's fair.
This is like West Side Story. They're negotiating bricks, bats, chains. What are we bringing? What are we bringing to the fight? No weapons. Just hand to hand. And George Foreman suggested the battle could be broadcast on pay-per-view. Yes, please. Thank you.
Don't you think you'd get like 30 seconds of sort of moving around and then the rest of the fight would just be leading on each other?
So you wouldn't get the pay-per-view.
Oh, I'd get it.
That's what I'm saying.
George Foreman is so likable, isn't he?
Yes. He's a big teddy bear.
We'd all be rooting
until he murders you.
Yeah.
Back in the day, he was considered like a brute, too. I mean, when he was fighting Ali, he was considered this brooding, hulkish monster. And it's so funny now, he's become like, people ask me all the time, how do you get your inventions made? He's got those commercials and stuff, and he's just the sweetest guy with the biggest smile.
Tell folks who maybe are a little too young to remember George Foreman, Ralph, what's awesome about his sons.
George is fond of the name George.
Right.
And so he has, I think, 100 children.
I think he might have six or seven.
But they're all named George.
They're not George the Second or George the Third?
Yeah, it's George Jr., I think, then George the Second, George the Third, George the Fourth, George the Fifth, I think.
Is it possible?
I think he's got a Georgetta, too, that's a daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the best.
He does good work.
He did not work hard on the names, is what
we're saying. Wow. Listen to how many children he has.
Okay.
Frida.
What?
George Foreman III, Georgetta Foreman, Leola Foreman, Isabella Foreman, George Jr., George IV, Natalie Foreman, Michi Foreman, George VI, Courtney Foreman, and George V. Those are his kids.
So the girls got names.
Girls got names. Boys got
Georges.
Yeah, except for Georgetta, right.
Let's get him in the ring just so he won't have more kids for that little amount of time. For the 12 rounds that he's
fighting. Good idea, Kevin.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
68-year-old George Foreman, yes. You're worried about him having more kids?
Yep.
Right, because you couldn't have sex before or after that fight.
Well, you don't have sex before, it's well known. Come on,
I'm sorry.
It'd be ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I realized.
But would I have to buy it? Absolutely.
Right?
I would have to.
On TV and television.
Both. You get it from both sources. Can we play that moment with you?
I think we need it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But she decided...
Does anyone on the show have any actual experience outside of television and or TV?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, goddammit.
Can we go on television and TV? And speaking of athletes, O.J. Simpson is out.
Yeah, what's he up to?
Well, I'll tell you what he's up to. He's going to have a little celebration. A little celebration, a little party for O.J. It's going to be thrown for him by his good friend, Dennis Hoff, who you may or may not know owns a little joint that I like to call the Bunny Ranch. And he says he's going to set the juice up with a party at the brothel. This thing on?
It's on, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not at all surprised. Dennis manages to get into the middle of anything that's going on in the news.
Dennis says he's got a girl picked out for the juice.
Oh, no.
Her name is Tiara Kay. And he says Juice will like her because she has bright blonde hair, just like his late wife, Nicole.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Dennis, no.
Wow, that's a misstep.
Come on.
Hope she wears a turtleneck.
I'm the Juice. Whatever that is. I'm just trying to be a good guy.
He's just trying to be a good guy. People are so mean.
Right.
I've always thought I've been pretty good with people, and I've basically spent a conflict-free life.
Sure. Exactly.
I mean, except for those two murders.
One night.
You're right. Yeah.
And then all those other calls to 911 those nights. But,
man, 911's a joke.
Stupid. Big cheer for OJ.
Today's celebrity birthday is Susan Sarandon, 71 years old today. Christoph Waltz, he's so good.
He is so good.
And so funny. You wouldn't think a guy who's that good at being evil could be so funny. One of my
he's
favorite
won
actors.
Two Oscars working for Quentin Tarantino, hasn't he?
He has indeed. 61 years old today. Russell Simmons is 60. Liev Schreiber, of course, from Ray Donovan. And speaking of boxing, if you haven't seen it, I think it's still available on video on demand, pay-per-view. You can see Chuck, a movie about Chuck Wepner. That Liev Schreiber made, which is really well done and entertaining. I recommend it highly. Lisa Silverstone, 41 years old today. Rachel Lee Cook is 38. Dakota Johnson is 28 years old. And Melissa Benoist, Supergirl herself, is 29. I'd like to make her Benoist.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Unfortunately, yes.
I think you do.
Yeah, we do.
We know.
We get it.
Ralph Garman, I walk the show with speed.
All right, not now, but in about 20 minutes, we're going to need you to call in and sing to get into the Breakfast with Foo Fighters. We'll give you Cal Jam 17 tickets to see the band and all the bands this Saturday at Glen Helen. And then you get to join us Tuesday morning here at K-Rock and the HD Radio Sound Space for Breakfast with Foo Fighters. Explain again, Kevin, what kind of singing we're going to be looking for.
Well, I mean, you can make up a parody song of a Foo Fighters song. You can make up a parody of any other song. You can do an original. You can rap.
Mm-hmm.
You can do slam poetry.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
whatever you want to do. It's up to you.
Oh, boy.
So Foo Fighters fan songs in about 20 minutes from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show to win tickets to both great events. Get a chance to see the Foos on Saturday and then again on Tuesday.
It's Wednesday morning. You know what that means.
Boo!
Yay!
The Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. Who's ready, people?
I'm ready.
Here are the stories that are on the wheel. All are real. The donkey that mistook a McLaren for a carrot.
Wait, what happened? A McLaren is a car, right?
Yes.
The donkey thought the car was a carrot?
He's apparently trying to eat the car.
That is a very confused donkey.
If the wheel lands on it, that's dumb.
Oh, my
goodness.
The second story is the Acrocats, the traveling cat circus. Number three is the Russian bear in traffic playing a horn.
Just take that off the wheel.
That's a great one.
It's just a picture. It's a video.
It's a video. Mad raccoon hitching a ride on a Colorado police cruiser. All right. A koala sommelier.
Did I say that right? One more.
Koala sommelier.
That's better.
Sommelier?
Yes, sommelier.
Thank you.
Well, that's, I mean, for me.
You know, Kevin, the country in Africa.
Putting that right in the win column.
This will win.
And the Australian crocodile turf war.
Oh.
So that's what's on the wheel. Let's spin it, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
No.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
I really,
I wanted the donkey, but now that we might have to make you say sommelier again, now I wanted to land on the Australia story.
I was close with that, wasn't I?
Ish.
And it's the koala sommelier.
What?
Yeah!
Sommelier.
There yes. you go. All right, you got it. Now, how does a adorable little koala bear end up being a professional wine taster?
I mean, he's not professional so much as he just wandered into a winery. He wandered in. And then the guy that was making the wine had a glass of wine, and he sort of swished it around like they do when they smell the bouquet or whatever the F they do. Mm-hmm. And then the koala was interested, and so he gave the koala a little taste.
This is winemaker Nicholas Dugmore is pouring some of the vineyard Chardonnay from a barrel into a glass, and then he turns around and holds the glass out to the koala bear and says, "What do you think, mate?" And I guess the koala put his nose in and sampled the bouquet.
Correct.
So now they have nicknamed him Drinky Bill. Drinky Bill is the name
is
of the
clever.
Koala.
That's a hell of a name right there.
So I believe, I think we have the winemaker, Nicholas Dugmore, is on the line from South Australia, if I have it correctly, from the Lane Vineyard. Are you there, Nick?
Hello?
Hey, yes. Nick. Yeah,
no,
is this Nick?
No, I'm not Nick.
No, who is this?
I'm Drinky Bill.
Oh, Drinky Bill, the koala bear. What a surprise this is.
I'm a bear and I drink wine.
Yes,
you sir. Have you heard such a thing?
No, we haven't.
This is ridiculous.
It was a surprise to us. And yet,
here it is.
Right.
Right. So how did this happen that you ended up at a winery in the first place? That's not where koalas usually hang out, is it?
Well, the winery itself was in Australia.
Right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that's where koalas live.
Right.
What a coincidence.
So you just ended up just wandering in one day.
And so I've always had an interest in wine.
You have?
Yes. And so I went in and I met with the winemaker. And he taught me a thing with a sample.
Right. Uh-huh.
And now I'm a sommelier, and I can say it, and I'm a bear.
How does that make you feel, Kevin?
Normal.
So now I have a job in this restaurant, and I recommend wines to people.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hello, madam. Hello, sir. Can I recommend a Zinfandel for you this evening?
Oh.
And may I say, your date has enormous breasts.
Oh, that's not professional at all.
That's not something restaurant. You want to say.
But it's true.
Right.
I could eat a lot of leaves out of those. tree.
is that a thing, Drinky?
That's what we eat. Koalas eat eucalyptus leaves.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it's yes. minty.
Yes, I bet that it is.
Yes.
So are you pretty good at, like, Kevin is always making fun of the people who sniff the wine and talk about the...
I'm actually sniffing wines.
Yeah? You're good at it. How
I'm
you can
really
do...
good at it. I'm Drinky Bill.
Uh-huh, you're Drinky right? Bill, right?
Why don't you name a meal, and I'll pair it with you. I'll give you the wine you should have with it.
All right, what about a grilled cheese sandwich?
Oh, it's easy. You should have a Chardonnay.
Something
fruity, full-bodied, that has notes of bourbon, spice, perhaps some black cherry.
Okay.
How about some swordfish?
Oh, swordfish! Mm-hmm. You should have Chardonnay. Something with...
What?
Just full-bodied with bourbon, spices, and perhaps black cherry.
Okay, what about steak?
Oh, you should have Chardonnay!
Okay, all right.
The only wine I know, really.
I'm going to say it is weird, and I don't like it.
Agree.
I'm not down with this.
Yeah, this is not okay.
It's too far. You guys are both too far.
You're both no's on this?
Yeah.
I'm a no.
So they take something out of your body and it's just trash as far as you're concerned. It should just be burned. You should just pretend it never happened.
Yes, because what am I going to do with it?
Well, here's the story that we started yesterday's show with, and it bears repeating because Allie missed it, and I really want to see her enjoy this. Blogger turns skin removed in designer vagina surgery into necklace. So the topic is going to be, you had a medical procedure and something was taken either off or out of your body. And rather than just put it in the medical waste can, you talked the personnel at the hospital into giving it to you. So now you have a piece of you somewhere in a jar. That's what we're looking for right now.
Why do you want a piece of you in a jar?
Or at around your neck.
520-1067. Kevin, if you had, and I will tell the story about the designer vagina surgery here in a second. Okay. But if you had a, here's just an example. I don't know if anyone's ever done this. Maybe we'll find out on the phones. But let's say you went in for a brain tumor operation. Right. They took out a brain tumor.
Right.
Wouldn't there be some strength in having that tumor in a jar, put it on your mantle at home and going, I beat that mother effer.
No.
That tumor right there, that tumor came for me and I won.
Here's the thing. I don't have to question, hey, should I keep that and look at it on the mantle like Bean says and say, hey, effer, I won. Mm-hmm. Or should I not keep it? Because that thought never enters my mind. They take it out. They dispose of it. And then I'm healthier, and I move on with my life.
Right, but they're taking out something that was significant. It potentially could have killed you,
right,
but it didn't.
Right.
I can see wanting to have that victory reminder around in my house. I can
you
see
could
that.
See that. I couldn't.
But I'm telling you, I believe in our listeners, and I believe they're going to come through at 1-800-520-1067 with body parts that have been saved. Here's the story for Tracy Kiss is her name. She went to the gym within the last few months, Allie, and she realized that there was a lot of pain happening. And she'd felt it before. It was a burning sensation after exercise. And she went to the doctor, and it turned out that she had a cyst. And a cyst had developed in her lady parts because of friction of the excess skin on her labia.
Oh.
We heard from a lot of people in yesterday's show who begged me to never say the word labia again on the
right.
show.
Yeah, that would be great.
Good work.
She was advised to have it removed after the operation. She asked the surgeon if she could keep the skin, and she proudly displayed it at home in a jar full of surgical fluid. So she kept her labia in a jar, and then at some point, and maybe this is too much information, but at some point...
We're way past too much information.
At some point, it started to turn gray not be attractive. It didn't have...
Oh, was attractive as opposed for to when it was that hot-looking labia
right?
in a jar.
Checked out that jar.
At some point, at the beginning, it was like a kind of an attractive pink, and now it's turned all gray. Oh. So she decided, hey, I still want to keep this, but I need some more attractive way to keep it. So what she did is she went through the steps and turned it into jewelry. Now she wears her labia in a necklace around her neck.
I sort of have a boner.
See, I told you.
No,
it's good.
You did not.
So she is proudly displaying it, and not everybody is on board, but a lot of people understand totally where she's coming from. She says it's a good reminder that people should speak out about female genital surgery, and she hopes that it will be a talking point. She hopes that people will ask her about it, and she can have a discussion.
Who's going to say, hey, those earrings look like your labia. Let's talk about it. Honestly, that's going to happen anywhere, anytime.
What kind of happy hour is she going to?
She's not looking for conversation about it.
Well, let's see.
She's wearing earrings.
Let's see what's going on with Erica in Redlands on line two at 1-800-520-1067. Erica knows what's up, and we welcome you to the Kevin DeBean Show. What's going on?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, crazy person.
This happened when I was a kid. I was kind of a weird kid. And I had to have my tonsils removed, and I talked the doctor into letting me take them home in a jar.
Mm-hmm. And do you still have them today?
No, I think my mom flushed them down the toilet.
Yeah, because your mom is a right-thinking American. And then you got put right into therapy, didn't you, Erica?
I support you, Erica. I think you did the right thing, and your mom's a bad lady. Thank you for the call.
By the way, Bean, just for the record, kept his donkey's balls.
Oh, is that code?
No.
Okay.
He owned a donkey, and he helped cut off the balls.
Well, I was involved in neutering my pet, yes.
Put them in a jar and brought them to K-Rock at work, where he kept that jar of donkey balls for, I want to say, 5-6 years.
Yeah, and then it started leaking, which was unfortunate.
Oh, my God.
So that's who I work with.
That's why we don't share a lot. That's why we don't share a locker anymore. Hey, let's go back to Redlands and talk to Hector, line 5. I don't know what's going on out at Redlands, but he's got a hell of a story. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, what's up, Kevin Bean?
909 coming through, Hector.
Hey, you there?
Yeah, we're here. What happened?
Okay, my son was born with an extra finger on his left hand, so he had a little finger coming off his pinky. Doctor told us to tie it with fishing string, and it eventually fell off in a couple of days. So now we have it in the closet like a little black raisin.
Why do you have it in the closet?
I don't know. My wife just felt weird throwing it away, so we just kept it.
Doesn't she feel weirder about it now?
Sorry?
Doesn't she feel weird about it now?
No, it's still pretty cool. We still have it.
All right.
Okay. See, when the party gets slow, he can go to his closet and pull something out to get it going again.
Yeah, that's what he wants for a party.
Let's take George in Torrance, line 6, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Crazy George.
Hey, guys. When I was about 8 years old, I was taken down to TJ, got my appendix removed, was kept above the refrigerator afterwards.
First of all,
let's start at the beginning.
A lot to unpack here, George.
So you said TJ.
Who made the decision? Hey, you know what? We need surgery. Let's leave America.
Basically, the doctors couldn't find what was wrong with me. So as soon as we went down to TJ, within 2 minutes of being examined by the doctor, he said, I want to put you in the emergency room right away.
Yeah, but they take everybody's appendix out when you go to the doctor in TJ.
It's very possible there was nothing wrong with you, George.
And how's it look all these years later in a jar above your fridge?
I have no idea. It was probably flushed down the toilet years and years ago.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, so you don't have it anymore. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Here's a text from the 951. I'm a nurse practitioner, and people always want to keep their bits and pieces. One lady wanted to keep the staples I took out of her scalp. One patient I met keeps his dismembered finger in a jar and takes it with him when he goes out.
No!
Keep that in mind when you're on Tinder this weekend. It could be that dude. All right, let's try.
Let's go to Al. I'd like to talk to him in Duarte because he sort of did the same thing as the girl in this story. Hey, Al.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We are good. How are you?
Good. When I was in high school, I had my wisdom teeth removed, and I hung on to them for a few years until I was in my mid-20s or so. I always had a plan to turn them into cufflinks, so I found a jeweler who was willing to do that, so I took them my teeth and... You know, a few hundred dollars later, I had a nice pair of white cufflinks that I used to
wear. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
I don't know if the kids can do that.
The kids love that.
Cufflinks, so that's a conversation starter, right, Al?
Yeah, it is. I mean, most people don't realize what it is. Some people actually think it's kind of gross, but, you know, it's one of a kind, and you won't find it anywhere else.
I mean, for a good reason.
Keep doing what you're doing. Hey, let's do one more.
The kids are really excited about this topic.
Let's do one more. Let's make it Jason in Simi Valley. It's a weird thing to keep here.
Hey, Jason.
What'd it do?
Oh, Jason.
You kept what?
You kept what?
Oh, Jason.
So I had kids at a very early age. 20 was my first. A second one 18 months later.
Okay.
I had a third one. After I went to a urologist to get a vasectomy,
he said
I was too young. So 6 years later, I have a third kid. This time, my wife is in nursing school, and she asked the practitioner she can come in the room with and assist. And sure enough, doctor lets my wife come in and
what?
Assist. Somehow, she convinces him and wants to make sure that my one-inch portion of my vas deferens was kept and very secured in a jar.
She took your penis, didn't she? Be honest.
So you have the piece that they pulled out when they did the vasectomy. You still have it in a jar.
You know what? I don't have it to this day. We kept it for 5 years as a novelty thing. This was 20 years ago.
Did you, as Bean says, bring it out when the party got slow? Get it going again?
Exactly. Exactly.
So your fourth kid was just a little thing in a jar then.
Exactly.
All right. Oh, thank you for the call, Jason. Appreciate that.
Hey, great talking to everybody.
See, I told you our listeners would come through.
Yeah.
It was fun, right?
Yeah, that was great.
All right. Here's the deal, you guys. We're clearing those lines so that we can invite you to call right now if you want a double dose of Foo Fighters. Cal Jam 17 this weekend at Glen Helen.
Which, by the way, is Foo Fighters and Queens of the Stone Age and Cage the Elephant and Liam Gallagher and Royal Blood. It's going to be awesome.
Ridiculous.
Amazing show. Plus, you also get access to Kevin Amin's exclusive Breakfast with Foo Fighters at the HD Radio Soundspace at K-Rock on Tuesday morning. You win both. We're looking for you to sing right now. We're looking for Foo Fighters fan songs, originals, parodies, raps, or slam poetry. It's up to you. 1-800-520-1067. We'll give away some tickets next on K-Rock. It's been almost exactly 10 years since the last Breakfast with Foo Fighters on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
So we're due, right? It's about
Agreed.
Time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning, the band is going to be here at K-Rock in the HD Radio Soundspace right down the hall from this studio. And we would like you to be there with us to enjoy them playing some music and helping us interview the band as well. Give you a chance to ask some questions. We're doing this with a game that we like to call Foo Fighters Fan Songs.
Foo Fighters Fan Songs. Foo Fighters Fan Songs. Foo Fighters Fan Songs is on. Breakfast with Foo Fighters Fan Songs. Foo Fighters Fan Songs. Foo Fighters Fan Songs is on. And Cal Jam. Foo
All
Fighters
right.
Fan Songs. Foo Fighters Fan Songs. Foo Fighters Fan Songs is on. Like Donkey Kong.
Kevin, we opened it wide up. You even suggested beat poetry might be appropriate for this if you don't want to sing or rap. Why don't we start with Kathy and Pico Rivera and find out how your vision is going to play out here?
All right. Let's say good morning to Kathy. Hi there.
Good morning.
All right. What are you going to do for us? Because we're doing Foo Fighters fan songs.
Foo Fighters fan songs is on.
Oh, my God. I got poetry.
Poetry.
That's what we're hoping for. Let's hear it.
I threw that out as a joke, but if it's good enough. You're there,
it
so let's hear
for me.
Let's hear it, Kathy.
First Foo Fighters concert. Congregation showed fans with our... let me start again, okay?
Okay, kick you.
I'm nervous. First Foo Fighters concert. Congregation showed support with lighters. Times like these, we could pull all-nighters. This is a call to Kevin, Bean, Allie, and all. Please invite me to breakfast with Foo Fighters.
See, that was me snapping.
Yeah, all right, like very that. Nice.
Thank, little late. It was late. I was holding a pen. I had
a little
to put it
late.
Down.
Thank you, Kathy. Hold on. Let's try Mike. He's in Diamond Bar. Up next, line three, please.
All right, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We are good. We're doing Foo Fighter fan songs.
Foo Fighters fan songs is on.
And you're going to do what?
I'm going to do a song to All My Life.
All right. Here's Mike.
All week I've been calling for something, never getting through. Kevin and Bean, give me tickets so I can see the food. All I want to do is see the food. All I want to do is see the food so I can rock, rock with the food. Rock, rock, rock with the food. All I want to do is see the food.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's our friend Mike. I like it very much. All right, you hang on. Mike, let's try Alex, Los Angeles, line two. I think Alex is going to be our first rapper here this morning.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Kevin.
Going to try and rap, are you?
Yeah, I'm going to try to freestyle off the top of my head while driving.
Fantastic. What could go wrong?
That's how all the best songs are performed.
Absolutely, man.
All right, here's Alex.
All right, here's my best. Yo, I'm going to the live show to see some Foo Fighters. Some kids want to jock my style. I got a few biters ever since I was a kid. Yeah, growing up. Throw the West Coast in the air. Throw it up. Yo, listen to Dave Grohl when he was a drummer for Nirvana. Yo, but now the band is vicious like piranhas, like a sauna. Things are really heating up. On the drums, yeah, he suggests beat it up. I guess you could say I was just a kid dreaming up the big time. Now I got some cool stacks. Yeah, I got some big rhymes. I keep it so stacked because I'm so fat. Throwing up the West Coast, yeah, those rappers so whack.
You know, for a white guy, not bad, right? Right?
Thank you, man. I practice in the car every morning listening to you guys.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. All right. We got a lot of styles here. Let's try Culver City, line seven. This is going to be Brandon. He's got something trying to win some Breakfast with Foo Fighters tickets and Cal Jam 17 for Saturday.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. What's up? It's Brandon.
Hey, yep. Brandon. Are you high right now?
Yeah.
All right.
Totally.
What are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do Monkey Wrench.
Okay, here's Brandon with Monkey Wrench.
All right. Don't want to be on Kevin and Bean. Da-da-na-na-na-na-na. Just want to go to Cal Jam 17. Da-da-na-na-na-na-na. And have breakfast with Dave Grohl. Da-da-na-na-na-na-na. And bang my head just like a troll.
I mean, Brandon, here's what I like about Brandon. He's having a great time no matter what.
Yeah. He sure is.
All right. I want some of what you have.
Do trolls bang their heads? Is that what they're known for?
I was confused.
Come on,
Bean.
Okay. All right. I think we're going to have time for one more, and I think it's going to be the lovely Anna, line four. She's in Los Angeles.
All right. Hey, Anna.
Hi, guys.
Hi. How are you?
Hey. I'm so excited.
All right. You're going to do what for us?
I'm going to do Best of Me, my version.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's Anna.
I've got a father confession to make. I need these tickets. I report to jury duty. later that day. And I'd be a 50-day long case. So it'd be the best, the best, the best to start my day with the Foo Fighters.
I appreciate the passion. All right. Thank you very much, Anna. You hang on. All right. So how does it work now? What do we do?
We have three pairs. So let's just do a drawing of three because I can't. Can you choose any of those three?
I could, but I don't want to make anybody sad. So let's do a drawing.
Okay, let's just do a drawing of three
winners. Allie, give us your names, please. Who's going to be joining us Tuesday morning for our Breakfast with Foo Fighters here on K-Rock?
It is Kathy, Anna, and Brandon.
Yay!
Kathy, Anna, and Brandon, congratulations. Cal Jam 17 on Saturday, and then Breakfast with Foo Fighters on Tuesday. And thank you for playing the game.
Foo Fighters fan songs. Foo Fighters fan songs. Foo Fighters fan songs.
You didn't enjoy labia talk today, Ralph? That wasn't your thing?
Some people and some words should never cross paths.
Hey, what's up? Captain of the Anaheim Ducks is going to be joining us just after 9 a.m.
Go Ducks.
Ryan Getzlaff.
Go Ducks.
So hockey's back tomorrow for reals.
Yes, go Ducks.
Hey, Ralph, you going to that game? I'm not going to the Flyers game.
I've got a previous obligation.
All right.
So sadly, I will not make it, but I will be there in spirit.
I will tell you this.
Getting flyered up, as we say.
The Flyers travel well.
They do.
I will say that.
They do a lot of games. The fans represent.
Yes, they do.
And a bunch of my Philly expat friends are going to be there. And sadly, I will not be in attendance, but I'll be rooting. And I'll catch the last half on television, I think.
Sure. Well, it was a lot of fun having Drew Daddy from the Kings in yesterday. We'll talk to Captain Getzlaff coming up after 9. Ralph, you're now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, finally, the movie we've all been waiting for. Sonic the Hedgehog movie is finally going to happen.
Yes.
Everybody happy? Finally.
Here's the only thing I'll say, Ralph, is that I was one of those people who rolled his eyes and sighed when it was announced all those years ago that they were making a Lego movie. Mm-hmm. I thought, there's no way you make a movie out of little plastic building blocks.
Yeah, everybody
toys.
Says that. Everybody goes, oh, but the Lego movie is so great.
And then the Lego movie came out and it was a sensation and there's been a great sequel and the whole thing. So it's possible, it's possible that it could be great. It's unlikely, but it's possible.
Every other movie ever made on a video game, board game, or toy. How about all those examples?
I mean, the emoji.
How dare you, emoji.
How about Battleship, the movie?
Sort of like Battleship.
Oh, see,
no, you
here
didn't.
We go.
I didn't
here
like Battleship. Sort of like Battleship, I did.
How about Street Fighter, the movie?
Look, there have been a lot of bad ones. Not every adaptation has been successful.
Oh,
but what I'm saying
you're singling out Lego.
I think what Bean's saying is if the right people are doing it, they can make it work.
It's not likely, but maybe it's going to be good.
How about Resident Evil? Come on now.
It's going to be a combination of live action and CGI animation. It's the first time Sonic, they say, has ever been adapted for the big screen. Really? I thought I remember all those other Sonic the Hedgehog movies that we got to enjoy. He's a hedgehog.
You're in.
Apparently, some people are not happy with that idea.
You sound like you might be one of them.
Yeah. Mark Cuban for president?
Oh, why the hell not?
Right? If we had Celebrity Apprentice as president, why can't we have Shark Tank guy for president? Let's just circle the drain, people. Let's just go for it. Let's just descend into madness. And get Raven Simone for vice president. And let's just pick random television people. Right?
Look,
we'll have the entire, all the girls from The View can be the cabinet. Let's just go nuts.
All right.
I do think that a lot of people are down on lifelong politicians. People are kind of bored with how things have been going under professional government employees.
Drain the swamp.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of people with that sentiment who share that sentiment.
Right.
Now? You think, still?
Yeah, I do.
You think it's going well?
No.
Even if you're not a supporter of President Trump, I still think you'd go, well, I hate everybody else in Washington. If Mark Cuban's got good ideas, I'm willing to give him a chance.
They brought in all the businessmen and everything. They're supposed to run anything. These are the guys who were taking the private jet flights and ringing up millions of dollars in bills and flying around and doing sightseeing tours of castles and stuff. And they're supposed to be on public policy trips.
Not so much draining as reinvigorating.
They're draining the treasury.
That's true.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome.
For that input. What do you call the wine guy again? The guy who brings wine to your table?
Sommelier?
Hey.
Oh, he's got it.
Nice. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Bogus.
What do you mean bogus?
It's bogus. Don't get me started on wine people.
And stars are reacting to the tragedies we've been living with for the past couple days. Bruce Springsteen tweeted yesterday about the death of Tom Petty. Very touching tweet. Down here on E Street, he wrote, "We're devastated and heartbroken over the death of Tom Petty. Our hearts go out to his family and bandmates. I've always felt a deep kinship with his music, a great songwriter and performer. Whenever we saw each other, it was like running into a long-lost brother. Our world would be a sadder place without him." It's nice. It's a legendary story about the two of them going to Tower Records together early in their careers, buying a bunch of 8-track tapes.
Wow.
Popping it into the car they were driving, just driving around Los Angeles listening to music together. So, sad news. And I gotta say, you know me, how I feel about the Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swidler?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta say, she did a classy thing the other day. She sent flowers to an off-duty LAPD officer who was injured during the shootings in Las Vegas over the weekend. Los Angeles Times says the female officer, who was only identified as Deb, worked at the Foothill Community Police Station in Pacoima. And Taylor Swift, I don't know how she got her info, but sent her a bouquet of flowers. Taylor posted on Twitter, "There are no words to express the helplessness and sorrow my broken heart feels for the victims in Vegas and their families." So, that was a nice thing for her to do. Right?
Sure.
I don't know what her ulterior motive was. I'm sure there was.
There had to be one.
There had to be one.
Of course.
But as of now, it is yet undiscovered.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift. Right? Beyond cute. She's really tall. You know, she's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
Authorities are looking into it, though, and they say they have a person of interest who perhaps can tell us what her motivation was for this act. Did you see the thing in Iowa, speaking of Taylor Swift, by the way?
I did not.
They don't want people to text and drive, so they've got a sign on their freeway that says, "Old Taylor can't come to the phone. She's driving." See?
Wow. Stop at the applause.
See? Not because she's dead, because she's driving, because she does the right thing on the roads.
That's clever that somebody thought to tie it into something current, right? Get your attention.
I like
it. I mean, it's not hilarious.
I like her saying she's dead better.
Oh.
If you're asking which one would I rather have. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dakota Johnson from Shades of Grey, 50 of them, 28 years old today. Rachel Lee Cook is 38, Alicia Silverstone's 41, Liev Schreiber, Ray Donovan himself is 50 years old today. Russell Simmons is 60, Christoph Waltz turns 61, Susan Sarandon also on Ray Donovan this season is 71, and Melissa Benoist, Supergirl, 29 years old today. I'd like to go to Krypton with her, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'd like to show her I'm faster than a speeding bullet.
Would you?
No,
that's
no,
very impressive.
I don't think I would in retrospect. Forget I said that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show his beat.
About 10 minutes from right now, believe it or not, we are opening up the phones again and giving away more tickets for the Double Dose of Foo Fighters Cal Jam 17 this Saturday at Glen Helen, plus access to Kevin Bean's Breakfast with Foo Fighters at the HD Radio Soundspace at Kirok Tuesday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. So you'll win tickets to both. That's coming up in around 10 minutes or so right here on Kirok. Are we waiting for El Capitan to call us on the phone?
We are. Not doing it. Don't say it. I'm not doing it.
Isn't it funny that yesterday
right.
on the show, we were in a very similar spot waiting for Drew Doughty of the Kigs to show up on time.
Who came in, right?
He did come in, but he was a little bit late, got stuck at the light out front.
Right. Which can be a 15-minute delay, that light.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, yeah.
Well, Getzlaf hasn't done this before, so let's give him some space.
He's done it before is what we're saying.
You're suggesting he's not 100% on time?
I mean...
He's on the phone. He's always phone when we talk to him.
Yes, he is.
We always enjoy it.
Yes.
All right, are you feeling confident enough to hit the button?
I think so.
Let's do it.
Brian Getzlaf, Anaheim Ducks.
Getzlaf. A cross. He has room. Getzlaf with a shot. He scores! How's that for leadership? Brian Getzlaf has tied it.
Make no mistake.
Jeff Leff is a wonderful offensive and all-around player, but he can also fight.
That's right.
And he took a pretty good left hand right there.
Getzlaf takes it right in the mouth.
Penner gets it back in front. There's Getzlaf. There's the hat trick.
Great play by Getzlaf. Bats the pass out of midair. And he scores again. Oh, my. He's putting on a clinic.
He is a Stanley Cup champion, a two-time Olympian, and the captain of the Anaheim Ducks. He joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show, preparing for the new season that kicks off tomorrow night at Honda Center. Ryan, welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Very good. We are delighted, although Chip, whom you've met, who's a hardcore Ducks fan here in the studio, she was just reeling off a list of the guys that you have injured as you open up the season tomorrow. What the heck's been going on down there?
Chip, we're not supposed to talk about that.
That's the thing about, that's a weird thing
Why
about
don't
hockey.
Why just have Chip hosting the show?
A lot of people have asked that, Ryan.
This man has some good ideas.
Yeah, sure. How did all these guys get hurt? Just in the preseason games?
Well, no, we had a couple injuries during camp, but most of them, the three of them for sure, we knew about throughout the summer. They had surgeries and are working to get back as soon as possible. So
okay.
Those ones we were definitely prepared for.
I think hockey, more than any sport, hides injuries. They even if they tell you someone's injured, they say it's lower body or upper body, and that's pretty much all they ever say.
No, we don't hide anything.
Hey, Ryan, you know what I haven't heard a lot of talk about, and maybe I'm just not deep enough into reading about hockey on the internet, but how did it work when they staffed the new franchise in Las Vegas? Did they just go around to all of the teams and say, okay, you got to give us a couple of guys?
Well, they had a whole draft at the award show last year, and there was a lot of different rules and stuff about how many players you could protect, and then they could pick from one player from each team, and
so you had to leave someone basically two or three players.
It makes you feel better. I don't really know all the rules either, so
I can imagine if you're on a team that went to the Western Conference Finals last year, and then you get chosen for the new team, you're like, come on, man. Why do I, yeah. I have to go to Vegas?
Yeah, well, it was more the GMs that were stressing about it. They obviously had to work their magic to try and protect the players that they wanted to protect and not lose some of their prospects and those kind of things. So
yeah.
Bob did a good job. He made a trade, I think, and we were pretty happy with the result in the end.
Now, how do you feel? They're also a Pacific Division team, right? The Golden Knights. So how do you feel now about getting able to go to Las Vegas a bunch of times during the season?
Well, I think it's good. I mean, obviously, for us, travel is always a bit of a disadvantage when you're talking about the league and how much travel we have to go through. So if we have another team that's close, that's three more games at least that are close by. So that's good for us.
All right. I know that to go when you play a game there, it's going to be all business. But what are you with Vegas aside from hockey? Fan?
What am I,
Do you go to Vegas? Do you gamble? Do you drink?
I'm not a big Vegas guy.
Not a big Vegas guy.
I've only ever, I think I've been there once for pleasure and twice for the awards, so.
I don't trust anybody that's only been to Vegas once. I mean, come on, Ryan. For God's sake. Tell us what the mindset is going into what is going to be every year a long season. There are always a lot of injuries along the way. You really want to try and stay healthy throughout the entire season. How do you focus on that?
Well, we don't. I mean, that's about managing minutes, about managing our ice time, all that kind of stuff, managing what you do after practice, before practice, all that stuff. But for the most part, we just focus on the guys in the room that we have for that given night and try and get the job done. We have enough depth around here that our team's prepared to handle those things throughout the year, and you know they're going to happen. So we just got to stay focused on what our job is.
We're talking to Ryan Getzlaf here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the return of Hockey That Counts. You guys, Arizona Coyotes, are going to be in town at Honda Center tomorrow night. By the way, we also ought to mention this, Ryan. I don't know how involved you are in the opening night festivities, but they got that big orange carpet out in front of the Honda Center, and players are supposed to be there greeting people. They're making a big to-do about the opening game tomorrow.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. We all kind of drive up one at a time when we get there, and we do the big carpet thing, and we love having all the fans there, obviously, greeting us. We signed some autographs on our way into the building, and they got a lot going on out front of the building with the new opening of the new entrance and all that kind of stuff, so it'll be fun.
What car are you going to drive up in?
I don't know yet.
I mean, this could be some breaking news right now. We could have the story.
We'll see.
You got a lot to pick from?
Oh, he's
a few
car
to pick
guy.
From, yeah.
Yeah. Few.
A few.
Yeah, a few, yeah.
Ryan, I want to ask you a question that I asked Drew Doughty yesterday, your friend from the L.A. Kings, and that is, how much of a natural rivalry do you feel with the Crosstown Kings? Do you pay a little bit closer attention to that game because they're local than you would with other teams in the division?
Well, much like everything, I think, to me, rivalries are always built in the playoffs, and until you go through playoff series against teams, you don't really build that. And fortunately enough, we've done that, and we've had some hard-fought battles and those things throughout the playoffs over the years, and that rivalry is built into just a great thing. Both organizations are always good every year, and it's always competitive in those games.
I feel like at times the fans lead that.
They do, and that's part of sports, too. The fans are the half the battle. If the fans don't care about it, then it doesn't make it as interesting. So it's the fans have been great on both sides.
All right, I have one more question about the fans, and I've never understood this about hockey, and I've watched a lot of it. It doesn't seem like there's much of a home ice advantage. It seems like the away team wins a lot of the time and is not bothered by the fact that the fans are going crazy. Are you able to block out that, or does it somehow make it better for you to play better if the fans are going crazy?
I think it's always easier to get up if the building's active and the building's going crazy, so to speak. No matter whether you're at home or away, if it's a loud building and everyone's kind of into the game, it's a lot easier to stay involved and be up for it. So, I mean, for me, it's fun. I mean, when you get in those other buildings and they're loud and the fans are on you and stuff, that's part of hockey. That's part of the enjoyment.
And then you score a goal and it just goes quiet. That must be very satisfying.
No better sound than a boo on the road.
Last question for me, Ryan, and that is you're preparing to start on a journey tomorrow night that, if things go well, doesn't end until June. That's a long season. Does the off season feel like it goes by in 5 minutes? Do you feel like you just finished last season?
I really hope my wife's not listening to this. She'll be depressed. But no, it is. I mean, it feels like the off season goes really fast. And when you have a family and you have kids and stuff, it gives you an opportunity to be with them. And I felt like this year the off season went really slow, and then all of a sudden it was like bang, it was here, and then it obviously things speed up and you go through training camp and we're ready to go again. But we're excited about this year, and I think we were excited all summer about getting back at it after the long run last year.
You guys were so good last year, and as a Kings fan, that summer is a long, long damn summer.
Yeah, it felt really long.
It's like 3 years long when you're not in the playoffs. That sucks so much.
Well, you had a nice time, eh, Chip?
Great time. It's the best.
Right. How many players would have to be injured before you call Chip in? Because she plays.
I don't know. We can use help all times.
Hey, Chip, tell. We'll let Ryan go in 1 second, but tell him what you were telling us before you came on about when you guys both started playing hockey.
Okay, so I'm sure you started playing hockey when you were a kid. I started this summer.
You were what?
You started what?
I started this summer.
Oh,
so
yeah?
I think by the time I'm like 55, I'm ready to go.
Like,
yeah, so just call me when you guys need me.
Till then.
Right. Yeah, exactly, right. Well, we're so excited to have hockey back, Ryan. You've always been very generous with your time. We really appreciate you coming up on the Kevin DeBean Show when you can. Don't forget, the game is at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Honda Center. It's on Prime Ticket. Some tickets still available, by the way. AnaheimDucks.com, and get there early for the opening night festivities and see what car Ryan drives up in. We'll talk to you again, El Capitan. Thank you for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
Congratulations to – oh, it just moved. Hold on a sec. Chip, can you see it? What's the name there?
Kevin Bellon.
There you go.
From
Kevin Bellon.
Huntington
Beach, thank you so much for listening. 2 Cal Jam tickets for you and 2 passes to Breakfast with Foo Fighters Tuesday morning here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Your chance to win is coming up here on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin DeBean Show at 938.
Ralph, we may have to start building a little extra time into your final showbiz beat to recap all of the moments with from that morning.
Oh, yeah, because I think today was a twofer.
I think so.
Hey, we had a twofer. Let's play the first one first. Can we do that, Chip?
I mean, if we have to.
That was first thing out of the gate this morning. Kevin gave us this.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
But she decided.
Does anyone on the show have any actual experience outside of television and or TV?
That was a
from
moment.
Either.
With Kevin.
From either
you
of those.
Can pick. You can pick TV
television
or television.
And
right.
Or TV. Either
right.
One of those.
Uh-huh.
And then, while Kevin was talking to our captain of the Ducks, Ryan Getzlaff was talking about Las Vegas.
Yeah, I could have worded
and
this
playing,
better.
Playing in Vegas. And,
yeah.
And then I'm not quite sure what the question was.
Not either.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What are you with Vegas, aside from hockey? Fan,
what am I,
you
what?
Go.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What am I, what?
Can we run that one more time, please? One more time.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What are you with Vegas, aside from hockey? Fan,
what am I,
you
what?
Go.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What are you with Vegas? What are you with Vegas, aside from...
I love that Ryan didn't even pretend to understand what the question was.
Same. What am I, what?
Does it, even if he tried to understand what it meant, he couldn't.
Fan?
Long time fan?
No, wait a minute. That fed dovetails right into another Ducks moment with this one.
Let's stay on target.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Maybe the best ever. All right. That was fun, huh? Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
What are you with Vegas?
One more time.
One more. All right. One more time.
I mean,
Chip.
But
one
I
more
started
time.
The. All right.
All right.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What are you with Vegas, aside from hockey? Fan,
what am I,
you
what?
Go.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I love that not only is he repeating what are you what, but he's also laughing at the same time. So,
fan, you go.
What? How come that happens? Why that? Anyone?
Really?
Why?
That's your magic.
Oh. I mean, you're using a lot of the right words. They're just, yeah. The right order.
What are you with Vegas?
I mean, that's not even, it's about half the words I needed.
Besides hockey, a fan.
I mean, you go. Fan, you go. You're like a caveman. What are you with Vegas? Fan, you go.
I wish I could argue, but you're not wrong.
All right, let me give you something. You made it this long in the show. If you've made it this long in the show, you deserve a prize.
That's true. That's a good observation.
Thank you. And I've got a good one. How about tickets to see a little band I like to call Coldplay at the Rose Bowl?
Yay!
This Mother Lovin' Friday, Coldplay will play at the Rose Bowl. I've got two pairs of tickets to give away. How about that? Two pairs of tickets. Tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com. But why buy them when you can win them? Two pair of tickets right now. But I'm going to ask you a little trivia question. You got to know a little something about Coldplay or else you're not getting them. So the first two people who get through at 1-800-520-1067 and answer this trivia question correctly will win the tickets. Here's your trivia question. Coldplay.
Yes.
Formed their band in 1996 when Chris Martin and Johnny Buckland got together at the University College London. When they formed that band initially, what was the name of the band?
Twisted Sister!
No, that's not it at all. That was already taken.
Okay.
What was the name, original name of the band when Chris and Johnny got together? What was the name of the band? Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067 if you know the answer. And you're one of the first two callers with the answer. You will get a pair of tickets to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl.
Starland Vocal Band.
Not the case at all, no. A lot of casting news in the show business news. Kate Winslet has just been signed to star in the upcoming Avatar sequels. Now, there's no word on whether she'll appear in 2 and 3 or 2 and 3 and 4 or 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 or just 2. Or just perhaps 3, perhaps just 4 or 5, perhaps 3 or 4, 3 and 4, perhaps 4 and 5, or just 5. But she will be in one of the sequels at least. She's reuniting with her Titanic director, James Cameron, who, by the way, will not quit knocking Wonder Woman. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Will not stop saying bad things.
We got a hard on for that.
Finally, Linda Carter and say, hey, you know what? Shut up. I was Wonder Woman. For 40 years I've been carrying this character around. I know what's what. Shut up.
So it was very exciting for
me. And he doesn't just have an opinion on Wonder Woman. He has the wrong opinion on Wonder Woman.
Yes, right. Saying that everyone should stop applauding it. It's nothing. It's a setback for women in film. And
terrible role model for girls.
Gal Gadot was Israel, so how can she possibly be a role model for girls? And it's just madness.
Wow.
So Linda Garza said, shut up! I'm Wonder Woman, damn it! More casting news. Jenny Slate has been signed to join Tom Hardy in the upcoming Venom comic book movie. Looking forward to see that. Venom's awesome.
I don't know anything about Venom, but I like both of those actors so much.
Venom.
You're saying Venom.
Venom is a symbiotic alien that crawls onto your skin and forms a costume and makes you nuts.
What?
Right? Exactly, Hallie.
What do you... Huh?
Symbiotic alien creature...
Okay.
...that crawls on your body and adheres to it and becomes a costume and makes you crazy.
Okay.
Remember Topher Grace in Spider-Man 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that. Only a separate standalone film. Tom Hardy.
So it's an alien that gets on your body, then it makes a costume. Is it the same costume every time?
Yeah. It's like a black Spider-Man.
Okay.
Like a black Spider-Man costume.
But with venom. Because it bites people?
No.
No?
It's the name. The name of the character.
I'm not familiar with any of those words.
Is Tom Hardy Venom?
He will be Venom, yes. I'm assuming he'll play Eddie Brock, who becomes Venom in the comics. Michelle Williams also going to star.
Cool.
All right. It's like an oil. It's sentient, and it just crawls onto your body and covers you up, and then you become Venom.
And are you bad or good?
It depends.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes you don't know.
You could wait for the movie, Ellie.
Oh, I could just tell you all the stories of Venom right here.
I'd like that.
And lastly, Anna Paquin has just joined the cast of Martin Scorsese's film The Irishman. This is the story of a high-ranking Teamster official named Frank Sheeran, who confessed that he killed Jimmy Hoffa, whose body's never been found. Sheeran died shortly afterwards, so it was never conclusively proven that he did kill Hoffa. But that's what people think, and that's what the movie's about. And this cast, by the way. Anna Paquin just joined, but here's the rest of the cast. Robert De Niro...
All right.
Al Pacino.
What? All right.
Joe Pesci.
All right.
What?
Harvey Keitel.
All
right.
Bobby Cannavale.
Come on.
Come on. It's like every great New York actor in the planet. And Anna Paquin, who is, I think, was she a zombie? Is she a vampire? What is she? She was from Blue Blood, right?
True Blood.
True Blood.
Yes.
Yeah. She was a vampire, right? Or was her boyfriend was a vampire?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It's a while ago.
All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Dakota Johnson from 50 Shades of Grey is 28 years old today. Rachel Lee Cook is 38.
She's all that.
All morning?
It's like we're back at Sir Laps-a-Lot there at that open mic night.
Bean, were you saving that all morning?
I had thought of it earlier, but you got to pick your spots. I didn't want to step on anybody.
You made the right decision earlier.
Your spot is in the desert in a bag. That's where your spot is.
Oh.
Lisa Silverstone's 41 years old. Liev Schreiber is 50. Russell Simmons, also 50 years old today. Christoph Waltz is 60. Sorry, Russell Simmons is 60 years old today. Christoph Waltz is 60. Susan Sarandon is 71. And Melissa Benoist, speaking of comic books, she is Supergirl, and she is super. 29 years old today. Let's see if we have an answer to my trivia question. I think Roland got through first. Roland from Huntington Beach. Roland?
Hi.
Hey there. What was the original name of the band as formed by Chris Martin and Johnny Buckland back there in London in 1996?
The Pectorals.
The Pectorals.
Yay!
Pectorals with a Z, by the way.
It's a hell of a band name.
Yeah,
Pectorals. They are terrible at naming bands.
They sure are. Then they went and became Starfish. And then they became Coldplay. Thank you, Roland. You knew the answer. Jose also had the correct answer. Congratulations, both you guys. We're going to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl this Friday.
Hey, girl, the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of help with us. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today starting at 5 p.m. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we talk sports with Jim Rome. We've got Dr. Drew on the program. We have Ned Colletti, the former general manager of the Dodgers. And we have your tickets for our breakfast with Foo Fighters as well tomorrow morning.